Good morning. And welcome on this Palm Sunday. I'm Pastor Linda, and it's a blessing to be able to bring you God's Word today. And we're going to start with Matthew 6, just verse 13, which is the petition, the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, according to the Gospel of Matthew. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And turning over to the familiar Palm Sunday story, again from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethany to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as Ashley said, and as Ashley prayed, write your word upon our hearts today, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In my 15 and a half years of ministry here at MLEPC, and 5 years prior as a chaplain in a nursing home, I've met amazing senior adults. Some of you are here today, others I know are listening from home, and still others are safely home in the kingdom, having fought the good fight and won the race. As I titled this week's sermon, "Vulnerable and Victorious," I thought of Dorothy for a couple of reasons. Dorothy died 5 years ago, 2 months after her 100th birthday. She had the distinction of probably being the only member of MLEPC in its 200 plus year history of never stepping foot in this church. How does that happen? Well, Dorothy belonged to a Presbyterian church that closed. She was relatively homebound, only leaving Asbury Heights for doctor's appointments. And she came to the chaplain at Asbury Heights and said, "I want to join this church." And he said, "Well, this is a faith-based community made up of people who belong to local churches. You can't join this church. You're going to have to find a church to belong to." Dorothy knew me. I had gotten to know her and followed her to Asbury Heights when she came to visit her sister at the nursing home where I worked. And the last pastor at her local church that closed the church was one of my dear mentors, and so we shared that connection as well. So acting on behalf of Session, a couple of elders and a deacon and I went out to Asbury Heights. We asked Dorothy the questions of membership, examined her faith, and brought her into membership here at MLEPC. By the way, she was only 92 years old at the time. And I still remember the first question she asked when we said, "You're now a member of the church." She said, "Where are my offering envelopes?" On several of my visits to Dorothy through the years, she shared with me stories from the creative writing class she took at Asbury. Each week, one of the residents would come in with 10 totally unrelated words. And the homework assignment was for each person to write a story using those words. The following week, they gathered together and read their stories aloud. I loved reading Dorothy's stories. The two adjectives in our sermon title today, "Vulnerable and Victorious," seemed to be polar opposites. And I thought of Dorothy. I wondered how she would have used those in one of her stories. To be vulnerable is to be open to attack or hurt, to be defenseless or helpless, in a worldly sense, to be a loser. To be victorious is to win, and synonyms of victorious are triumphant, conquering, and successful. On this Palm Sunday, we'll be reflecting on how these two seemingly unrelated words are indeed related as we begin Holy Week, this final earth week in the earthly life of Jesus. While it is important that we continue our study of the book, Five Prayers God Loves to Answer, it is equally important that we look at the Palm Sunday story today. So first prayers, second the Palm Sunday story, and then some thoughts to tie the two together. The fifth and final petition that God loves to answer is, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Quoting from the book, Dr. Seelig writes, there are two parts to this prayer when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. First, Father, will you help me to discern and learn how to avoid temptation whenever and wherever possible? And second, Father, will you show me how to escape those things I cannot avoid that are constantly in my face from living in a fallen world? A simple definition of temptation is the desire to do or have something you should not do or have. As we live in a fallen world, we are vulnerable to temptation that leads to sin. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he faced temptation. He spent 40 days alone in the wilderness, fasting. The devil tempted him three times, first with food, and who wouldn't be hungry after 40 days of fasting? The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. Then the devil showed Jesus the city of Jerusalem and the temple and tempted him with fame. He said, throw yourself off and God will command his angels and they will bear you up. And then the devil tempted Jesus with fortune. He took Jesus to a very high mountain so he could see all the kingdoms of the world and offered to give them to Jesus. Each time, Jesus countered by quoting scripture. Jesus was vulnerable to temptation, but victorious. Why was Jesus tempted? Hebrews 4:15 puts it this way. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus understands our temptations. If you look at a church calendar, this Sunday is called Passion/Palm Sunday. The suggested readings for today and for the week to come include our passage of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and readings that describe Christ's passion. Passion comes from a Latin word for suffering or enduring, and that word is used to describe this final week in Jesus' life. Since at least the 4th century, it has been tradition for the church on Palm Sunday to reflect on one or more of the events leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. Perhaps this is even more so important today because Good Friday has been eliminated through the years as a paid holiday in most of the corporate world. Many people can't or simply don't attend Maundy, Thursday, or Good Friday services where the story of Jesus' passion is told. 4 years ago, I preached on Palm Sunday here, and my sermon title was, You Can't Get There From Here, a statement that's well known to us in the city of Pittsburgh with its one-way streets, bridges, hills, and valleys that notoriously are difficult to navigate. If we simply go from Palm Sunday's celebratory parade to Easter Sunday's resurrection story, we miss Jesus' suffering, and we miss the full understanding of who Jesus is, the human Jesus who was vulnerable, who suffered. I was thinking, if there is a positive to this pandemic, It's not only do we have the opportunity now to be in person and to live stream Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday services, but if schedules don't allow you to be here in person or watch the live stream at 7 p.m., the services will be recorded so that you can watch them later. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is recorded in all four Gospels because it is so significant. It represents a dividing point between Jesus' completed ministry on earth and he is now headed to Jerusalem to the cross. As Jesus' journey to Jerusalem begins, there's a celebratory parade. Matthew uses references to Old Testament prophecy because he writes to a Jewish audience and he wants to make sure they understand Jesus is the Messiah, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. We see that clearly in this passage in Matthew as he quotes the prophet Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus instructs two of his disciples to go into a village where they'll find this donkey and the colt. He tells them to bring the animals to him. We can't miss the significance of the donkey, a humble beast. Yet the crowd received Jesus as they would a king, with cloaks and branches spread on the road, and the crowd in front of him and behind him shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And what a crowd it was. This was Passover, and Jerusalem and the surrounding neighborhoods were crowded with pilgrims. The law said that every male Jew who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem must come to Passover, but not only the Jews of Palestine came, but Jews from all around came to Jerusalem for this, the greatest of their national festivals. So Jesus came into a city surging with expectation that the Messiah would come. The cry, "Hosanna," translates as "save us now." And it was a cry from people in need of deliverance and help in times of trouble. The gospel writer John gives us a second reason why so many came to the parade that day. He writes, "When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead." So Jesus came as sort of a celebrity, but he came humbly on a donkey, not on a war horse, as a conquering king. So it has been challenging to tie the topic of temptation into the Palm Sunday story. But if we look to that passion story, the story of the suffering that Jesus experienced the final week of his earthly life, it is one that shows many characters who are tempted with evil, and they betray and deny Jesus. As Matthew 26 begins, the plot to kill Jesus is set into place by the chief priests and elders at the palace of the high priest Caiaphas. The following story is that of a woman who pours expensive ointment on Jesus' head. And the disciples are indignant at this costly sacrifice by a woman who simply wanted to show her love and devotion to Jesus. Given the choice of God or money, this woman chose God. Contrast Judas, one of the disciples who chose money, as he goes and makes arrangements to turn Jesus over to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver. As we continue reading, we hear that Jesus tells Peter that before the rooster crowed that very night, he would deny Jesus three times. And Peter boldly said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." We know the end of that story. After Jesus is arrested and Peter is sitting outside Caiaphas's palace, he does indeed deny Jesus and even denies even knowing him. Between these bookends, these two selections about Peter's denial, we read about Jesus' heartfelt prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he asks his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, to stay awake with him while he prayed. They fall asleep. Jesus is betrayed and arrested in the garden, and Matthew writes that the disciples left him and fled. As we reflect on these scriptures that tell us how Jesus' disciples were tempted and failed him in his final hours, it is a call to us to remind us to continue our efforts at discipleship, knowing that we are vulnerable and tempted to deny and betray Jesus. The last week of Jesus' life so well illustrates temptation to fame, to fortune, not necessarily to food, but to other physical needs like sleep. And to add another word that begins with the letter F, to fear on the part of many of the characters. As all these characters and events are woven together, Jesus becomes the vulnerable victim. He is attacked, hurt, defenseless, and helpless as he goes to the cross. Yet, because Jesus is vulnerable but victorious, we are able to go through this life vulnerable and victorious. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly, or foolishness, to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We are human, we face temptation, and we will sin. But because of the sacrifice of one life, that of Jesus on the cross, we are saved by the power of God." Dr. Selig writes, "We are bombarded daily by physical pictures and tempting thoughts through TV, the internet, social media, and advertising." It's ironic that the personal example that he gives in the book is one that we can truly relate to in these days of COVID-19. Dr. Selig compares his practice of wearing a mask whenever he travels to avoid bronchitis to avoiding the garbage that comes into our life through the television, the internet, and social media. Who knew that we would be able to relate so well to this example, as, like it or not, wearing a mask is a part of our daily lives. One practical suggestion Dr. Selig gives us to counter the temptations that we face in life, he tells us that he carries a little business card in his pocket that says "Stop" in red letters on one side, and on the other side, "Think, listen, and pray," printed by familiar scripture passages, promises to counter temptations about worry and anxiety, making decisions or fears. And indeed, Jesus, tempted by the devil in the desert, quoted Old Testament scriptures. The devil said, "Turn stones into bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." The devil said, "Jump off this cliff, and angels will bear you up." And Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil said, "Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give them to you." And Jesus said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." We have the assurance that God listens when we pray, "Father, will you help me resist this temptation and escape from it?" Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Indeed, Jesus in the desert fought the devil with scripture and walked away from temptation. With God's help, we too can mask up and arm ourselves with scripture and walk away from the things in life that tempt us. So I mentioned that there were two reasons that I thought of Dorothy with the sermon title, Vulnerable and Victorious, and you're probably waiting and wondering where that second reason is. I saved that for the last. I want to close with it because it's a visual, a way that you might address the temptations you face in your life. So it's show and tell time. I keep this small picture frame that I know you can't see from a distance on the mantle in our living room. It was given to me by another one of our awesome seniors who fought the good fight and finished the race the year before Dorothy. Peg and her husband Roy, an elder at the time and listening in today, were part of that leadership team that went to Asbury Heights and brought Dorothy into membership at MLEPC. Many of our homebound members have deacons who visit regularly, well, used to visit regularly before COVID, and I thought that Peg, as a deacon, and Dorothy would make a good pairing. And was that ever an understatement? A precious friendship developed between them through the years. There was even a personal connection. God has such a sense of humor when I match these people up. He matches them up. We discovered that Dorothy was a former neighbor of Peg's aunt way out in Moon Township. One year, our deacons had a Christmas grab bag, and Peg gave me this. It's a picture frame. Recessed into the mat is a small crystal cross. And below the cross, on the mat, is a poem entitled The Cross, a symbol of faith and courage, a source of endless prayer, power, a source of endless power to face whatever comes along each year, each day, each hour. But behind the cross, there's a mirror, so that when I look at this, I can see my reflection through the cross. It's a reminder to me that my life should always be lived as a reflection of the cross because Jesus went there for me. Earthly successes are nothing compared to the heavenly victory that we have through Christ's great sacrifice on the cross because of God's great love for us, his children, who are vulnerable. We can all fill in the blank with our own temptations. I was thinking that perhaps this week you might want to take a cross and place it in front of a mirror somewhere in your house, or, and young people get permission here, you could use a bar of soap and simply draw a cross on a mirror so that whenever you look in that mirror this week, you see your own reflection through the cross. So from the Hosannas of Palm Sunday to the Hallelujahs of Easter, may this Holy Week be one where you journey to the cross with Jesus, where your life reflects the great sacrifice that he made there for you and for me. He was vulnerable, but victorious. Therefore, we are vulnerable and victorious because God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to die on the cross for our forgiveness and so that we would have the hope of eternal life. May it be so for each one here in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? O Holy God, as we come before you this day, we are so grateful for this season of spring. In an instant, the world seems to change from brown grass and bare trees to buds and flowers and green grass. And we are so grateful, Lord. It reminds us of the seasons of our lives. Sometimes we're in one of those bare, dark seasons, but you promise us hope, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Lord, today we think of those at home, especially our beloved senior adults. We pray, Lord, for a day when we may all gather together again. We pray for those this week who are struggling with physical needs, with emotional needs, with spiritual needs, those who feel separated from you, Lord, and ask that in this very Holy Week that you draw each one close to you. Lord, we thank you for Hosanna, save us now. We thank you for Hallelujah, a cry of joy that we will experience next Sunday as we gather together for Easter, for the resurrection. And Lord, in between, help us to walk with Jesus, knowing that we are vulnerable, but knowing that we are victorious because of him. And we pray all of these things in his precious name, even as he taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.